The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. On the next day, when the people who remained after the feeding of the 5,000 saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be renewed, and you shall renew the face of the entire earth. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So I want to begin by letting you know that I decided to preach an unpopular sermon today, so that when it's time for me to leave in a couple weeks, you'll be happy to see me go. And honestly, what I'm about to say is in large part an exhortation unto myself. Because the question that jumped out at me from today's gospel is, what does God ask of us? And I'd certainly like to know and also do what God asks of me, because I want to be found doing what God wants of me when he returns. And I imagine that you do too. And furthermore, the 5,000 people apparently want to know this answer, because they hunt Jesus down in our gospel reading for today, and they end up asking Jesus, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And you know, we have answers to this question in Scripture. For we know that God tells us what is important to God, such as in Micah 6:8, where the prophet tells us, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." And also, Jesus outlines what God expects of us in Matthew during the sheep and the goat sermon, given Jesus says he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and it will have been important to God that we treated others as if they were Jesus. That when they were hungry, we gave them food, and when they were thirsty, we gave them drink. And so the sheep and the goats sermon is also what God expects of us. These are important works that God expects of us, because all of these things either sustain or improve life, do they not? And so what God asks of us is to sustain and improve the lives of others, I believe. But so the reason I'm bringing this up today is because there's a lot of talk about bread being able to sustain life. In our Old Testament reading, the people are hungry and afraid of dying of hunger. But then God rains down bread from heaven and sustains their lives. And last week, we saw Jesus feeding people with the loaves and the fishes to sustain the people. And today, these same people seek Jesus out because they know that Jesus can solve their societal ills. He can feed people and heal them. And because of these good works, they want to make him king. They believe Jesus can usher in justice and make their social conditions better. And they want this immediate relief. And so they hunt Jesus down, believing him to be a prophet. But so today, Jesus explains to them they're missing the point. Jesus says to them, "You are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." And so think on this. Last week, we discussed how it was after Jesus walked on water and got on the boat and stilled the storms and got the disciples instantaneously to the other side, that the disciples equate Jesus with God, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And they worship Jesus. And some people may say that Jesus never claimed to be God. But the mere fact that Jesus does not stop the disciples from worshiping him is an admittance by Jesus to be God. Given elsewhere in Scripture, when people bow down to worship angels or prophets, the response is, "Get up, don't worship me, I'm not God." When Cornelius tries to worship Peter, he says, "Stand up, I'm only a man myself." And when John tries to worship the angel in Revelation, the angel says, "Do not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets. Worship God." But Jesus does not stop the disciples when they worship him. And so Jesus is not merely a person or an angel or a prophet. The point being, the disciples are starting to catch on that Jesus is God. But the rest of the people are not yet connecting the dots. And so Jesus says to them, "You are looking for me not because you saw signs," aka affirming who I am, "but because you ate your fill of loaves." When God rained down manna from heaven in our Old Testament reading, he did it for a reason. And it was not merely to feed them. In our reading from Exodus, God says, "In the morning you shall have your fill of bread, then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." Likewise, by Jesus feeding the 5,000, this was a sign to the people that they might know, "I am the Lord your God." The same God of the Old Testament is Lord of the New. The miracles were a sign that Jesus is the Lord our God. And the people, you know, they're enthralled that Jesus can provide for their physical and societal needs, but they do not seem to care as much to know Jesus as Lord and God. But Jesus cares that they know this. And so he says to them, "I am the bread of life." All attempts to sustain and improve life are temporary unless you possess the bread of life. This is why Jesus tells them, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Right here, Jesus is saying he is the one who provides eternal life, and God the Father sent him to do this work. And so when the people ask Jesus, "What must we do to perform the work of God?" What is it that they're thinking that Jesus will say? Are they thinking he will respond with Micah 6:8 and to give hungry people food and drink? And I would venture, since Jesus said that they're hunting him down for food, that yes, they are expecting the work of God to mean feeding people physical bread. But Jesus does not say this. Jesus says to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." I mean, what? You know, this must have thrown them for a loop. They were waiting for the seek justice, show mercy, feed the hungry answer. But they're told instead that the work of God is to believe that God sent Jesus. Jesus right here emphasizes faith, not works. Jesus says very clearly that the work of God is to believe in the one whom he has sent. Jesus claims to be the bread of God who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. If that is not claiming to be God, I don't know what is. Who can give life to the world if they be not God? And yet, the people aren't prioritizing the Messiah as much as their next meal. And we tend to do this in our ministries. We prioritize meals, notwithstanding the fact that Jesus reveals to us today that a meal without Messiah is food that perishes. But Jesus also tells us if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? And so I believe we must do both. I believe that God expects that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We extend food and faith. We as Christ's church proclaim faith in Jesus Christ because to not do so would be to neglect the work of God, no matter how many meals we make. I mean, I don't know where all the ICS peanut butter went, but we know it went to people in need of food, and that is good. But do we know if these same people are in need of faith? And by asking this, I am in no way minimizing the peanut butter drive and the passing out of peanut butter. Do not tell Mother Anita that Heather minimized our peanut butter drive, because that is not the case. I do not minimize it, but Jesus says to us today, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. And so are we to work to send out only food that perishes, or also food that endures to eternal life? It's just a question. Are we as zealous to spread the word as we are to spread the peanut butter? And some may say to me, but Heather, people are more receptive to peanut butter than preaching, especially if they have no idea who you are. To which I would respond, yes, you would be 100% correct. But if they know who we are and we know them, this then gives opportunity. Jesus, by example, spent time out and about in the communities, having nowhere to lay his head. Jesus lived amongst and touched the sick and sat and ate with the people he provided bread for, attending weddings, weeping at Lazarus's grave, and getting his feet dirty walking through the streets. Jesus even went to the outcast chained amongst the tombs, who everyone else had given up on, and restored his soul. Jesus personally came into contact with people, getting to know them. I mean, I can't name a single recipient of the peanut butter. And maybe you can. But if they do not know Jesus, and maybe they do, but if they don't, then we have only sent out food that perishes. When Jesus met the woman at the well, it was not for physical water that he stayed and visited with her. There was not merely an exchange of a water bottle and then Jesus walked off. Jesus spent time talking with the woman, acknowledging her story, and then, and only then, did he have opportunity to explain to her and confirm himself to be Messiah, which Jesus reveals to her by saying, "I who speak to you am he." But so this message took time. Jesus spent time revealing he cared about her and her story. I mean, we know the woman at the well as the woman at the well, but Jesus knew her name and everything about her. To spend time getting to know people requires effort. It requires work. To do the work of God requires work. But the result is the woman at the well runs into town saying, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." The miracle being not only that Jesus knew everything she did, but he cared to know everything about her. This opened the door of her heart to see Messiah. Spreading the knowledge of Jesus, that God sent Jesus into the world, that Jesus descended, as Paul explains today, so that all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, the spreading of this knowledge is described by Jesus today as work. The work of God requires dirty feet and sweaty brows and compassionate tears and time spent getting to know people so that we earn the right to speak to them of Jesus. Given people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that everyone sitting in this nave already believes in the one whom God has sent. But so if the work of God is for people to believe in the one whom God has sent, then the work of God is not inside this church. It's out there with the peanut butter. But please don't tell Mother Anita that Heather said we don't need to be in church. You know, I'm not saying that either. We come to church to worship and build one another up and to feed on Jesus in order to be directed and empowered by God's Spirit to go out and extend the knowledge of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And so perhaps it's a good thing that we don't have cushions on these pews, because then we might get comfortable. And we are called upon to be about our Father's business. And the business of God is this: to believe in the one whom he has sent. Amen.